In a world that appears to be filled with negativity and distrust, it's easy to feel helpless and frustrated. Well, how about a change? How about a podcast that brings positivity to your day with stories about everyday people doing good things for people around them? You found it here. This is the Harmony Goal Podcast with Tom Durth, focused on making the world a more harmonious and caring place. We hope you enjoy it.
Welcome to another episode of the Harmony Goal Podcast. And those of you who've been around with us from the beginning know full well that the total purpose of this podcast is to shine the light on people who are out there unselfishly helping other people in our community, not only financially, but in volunteer work and that sort of thing. So today we are absolutely thrilled to have with us Kristen Blessman, who I will give you a little bit of a background on Kristen before we get started here. Kristen started out, she was the PR director for Regis University. Then she served 5 years with Goodwill before becoming the CEO and director of the Colorado Women's, I'm going to say this wrong, but here we go. The Colorado Women's Chamber of Commerce, correct? They're very good.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
Very good. I'm not good at reading notes. And now Kristen is the president and general manager of PBS 12. And Kristen, as I was going over your resume here, I was exhausted just listening to it. So I'm thrilled to hear that you're here with us. And thank you so much for taking the time to be a guest on our show.
Well, thank you, Tom. Thanks for having me. I'm honored.
Well, we're honored to have you here. So a couple of things. I'd like to find out a little bit. Would you share with us a little bit of the history of PBS 12? And in there, if you could share with us a little idea about why there are two PBS stations in the Colorado general area.
Yeah. Well, first of all, this is a funny thing, just in general, as I'm sure you know, Tom, people ask this all the time. Why is there more than one nonprofit that tries to help women with breast cancer? Why is there more than, and I always answer that with, we never ask, you know, organizations like Amazon or Barnes and Noble, why do you guys both sell books? Why are there people that sell books? That doesn't make any sense. And so I often say the same thing about the nonprofit community. Mm-hmm. You want more organizations playing in that space because ultimately then the problem will get solved, we hope, right? Mm-hmm. So it's never a bad thing that there's multiple organizations playing in a mission space. It's a competitive free market, which you want in the nonprofit world too, right? Like we want people out there working to solve issues. One organization may have a different angle, and who knows, maybe that angle will work. Nobody really knows the answer in these mission spaces, you know, especially something like addiction, right? Doesn't hurt to have lots of nonprofits playing in that space. And I would say the same for public media. Right now, especially more than ever before, public media is super, super important. And as we know, there's no shortage of stories to be told. But I will say that PBS nationally does a really good job of making sure that if there are more than one public media PBS organization in the market, that they're doing a really good job of differentiating. So like a market like Boston has five different public media organizations, but most of the time they're separated geographically. So, you know, a market will be so large that they tend to need more than one broadcast PBS organization to serve them. In Colorado, it's very different. In Colorado, Rocky Mountain Public Media and PBS 12 serve mostly the exact same market. And the reason why PBS National gave us two licenses and we're a two license market goes back historically. And with everything that's been going on with Pride and Pride Month and companies sponsoring that, this will be an interesting story to tell. So PBS 12 was started as Colorado Public Television over around 40 years ago. And our founders, who were not LGBTQ, they were journalists, started to see a lot of anti-gay sentiment coming out. And so they were looking around at media organizations like the Denver Post and the Rocky Mountain News, Channel 4, 7, and 9, and even Rocky Mountain PBS, and there was no reporting. going on about it. And they were seeing this and like, this is super dangerous and nobody's covering these stories.
Mm-hmm.
And so they could prove that. And so back then you could still buy Spectrum to have a television station. You can't do that. There isn't any more Spectrum available on the market, but back then there was.
Mm.
So they bought it and they went to PBS National and could prove like, hey, our market needs this right now. And so PBS gave them a license, and much to their chagrin, I don't know if you remember in the 90s, Amendment 2 still did pass. It was an anti-gay piece of legislation right. that passed in our market, but they were trying to prevent that. And so they would air like Rush Limbaugh and a drag queen show side by side. So we were known as sort of this like gritty, you know, odd television station. We had alternative music videos that you couldn't find anywhere else. And so, you know, fast forward this many years, there is still market confusion for Rocky Mountain PBS and PBS 12. And it's why I was brought on to PBS 12 to bring back that reason for two PBS organizations to exist in the market. And so I believe that there is a deep need. And I had to do a listening tour to make sure that there was a deep need for two PBS organizations in our market. And I believe that much like the cup of Starbucks coffee that nobody realized that they needed or wanted for now $6 a cup, there is a need and a desire for a different type of information delivery than just news. And it happens and needs to happen at a very hyper local level. And so we're creating a new type of storytelling platform and in a way to deliver information that is different than what exists today, even at Rocky Mountain PBS.
Wow. Wow. That is beautiful. Thank you. That's a great answer. That answers a lot of questions for me too.
Good. Good.
That's wonderful. I know our listeners are going to be appreciative of that. And there's a phrase that is used by PBS 12. It's called Impact Media for Colorado. What specifically does that mean? Because I know that's a tagline. Yeah.
So it's interesting, right? If you're a traditional journalist, you believe, and I agree with this, that it is your job to just, you know, report facts. Like, here's the news, right? Like, I'm just telling you how it is. I come from the nonprofit world. And in the nonprofit world, when you say, okay, we have this program, you know, that we're going to deliver. So for instance, like when I was at Goodwill, it was basically our job to reverse the cycle of poverty. Right. So, but it wasn't enough, and nor is it ever enough for a nonprofit to say, like, oh, we're just doing this. You have to, if you're going to get people to fund you and believe in what you're doing, you have to show them that you're actually doing it. Mm-hmm. Right. So for instance, if I say, you know, we're going to be Impact Media for Colorado, it's not enough to just say that we're going to tell stories. We have to prove and show that our stories are doing something. So that's what I mean by Impact Media. It's not enough to just tell a story or report facts. We have to show that there is an outcome or a purpose and a reason to do that, right? And at our core, we believe that by reporting this information and telling these stories, our goal is to bring Coloradans back together again. I don't care if you're Democrat, Republican, if you feel this way, you're in business, you're not in business, like we need to be brought together as a community right now, right? Mm-hmm. No more like, oh, you believe that, you're not my friend, right? Mm-hmm. So we have some initial stage research that shows that in the words of the great Ken Burns documentarian, nobody's mind was ever changed by a well-formulated argument, but people's minds get changed every day by someone's story.
Mm-hmm.
So again, if you look at the news model is all a well-formulated argument. We want to be able to tell, report, and give information through the lens of someone's story.
Mm.
That's where impact comes because, you know, we could say I'm pro-life, I'm pro-choice. That would shut me down depending on which side I was on. But if I say I'm pro-choice and here's the reasons why, here's my lived experience, this happened to me to make me feel this way, we'd still disagree. but we would connect on a deeper level as humans because you know who I am and you know my story. And so that's ultimately really what we're trying to do. We're going to report the facts and information. We're going to report someone that's affected by it or who has lived experience with it. And then we're going to report on some organizations or people or individuals that are doing something about it and then what's happening as a result. And then as a viewer, you can choose to get engaged or get to know that person or learn more about the organization that's making the change and actually commit to making an action as a result of what you've just seen. So you're not just sitting there going, oh my God, we are doomed as a society. You know what I mean? Because that's how I feel sometimes after I listen to the news. I was listening to a national CBS news story, and it was all on this research that had come out about brain degeneration as you age. Right. And it's basically saying the gist of the report was, you know, after 60, you lose brain cells and, you know, you're diminishing and there's, you know, that's it. That's what the research shows. Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting there listening to this going, well, I might as well just throw in the towel now then. Right. Like, do I have nothing to look forward to? I want to work as long as I can and am able to. And this report's telling me I might as well not even try. Mm. And it would not have been that hard, I don't think. And it's hard for news because they just don't have the time slots to do it. But for someone like us, it wouldn't be that hard to say, but here's somebody who's bucking the trend. And here's some things that you can do to keep your brain active. And here's some research that shows that if you do that, it actually does work. And here's some organizations that you can get involved with or you know, places to go. You see what I mean? Like, it's just a slight shift in how stories are told that will make us feel hopeful and inspired versus, the, you know, taking a toll on us and thinking that there's just really no way out of the problematic situations that we find ourselves in.
Wow. Well, you mentioned right there that they don't have the time to do that. And I think that, yeah, you know, the stories overlap one another. And, you know, you can see somebody go from a happy story to a sad story and they don't have any time to change their tone. And yet you're taking the time to tell those stories. To me, that is the true service that you're serving out there. That is beautiful.
Thank you.
That's wonderful. So how specifically does PBS 12 serve the community? You know, what are some of the things that you're out there doing to make sure the community feels what you're doing?
Well, I mean, I think one of the things, you know, much like other PBS organizations, PBS content just in general connects people, right? Like it's very, PBS does an amazing job of putting out just high quality, incredible content. But that's only 25% of what our organization does. So that's another differentiator. Rocky Mountain PBS gets 75% of their content from PBS. We only get 25% of our content from PBS. So that leaves us this enormous platform to be able to build out impact media for Colorado. And one of the ways that we're doing that is we're developing a ton of original programming right now, right? And it's designed to be, you know, just for Colorado, specific to Colorado, and connect us with one another as Coloradans, right? So some of our original programming, like Colorado Inside Out, that's our local public affairs show. We have the longest running public affairs show in Colorado, right? So that's really important. You know, I don't think that anybody else does local civics, local community affairs quite the way that we do. So we have a just a litany of public affairs and community affairs. Like if you want to learn anything about local politics in a different way, we're your resource for it. So we did a whole section of interviews with all of Denver's mayoral candidates. We invited all 17, 14 showed up to do it, but they weren't allowed to talk about their policy. They were only allowed to really be looked at as human beings because that's missing in politics right now. Mm. They talked about their values. They talked about their family. They talked about their upbringing. They talked about why it was important to them to run, right? It was the story about who they were as humans. And literally every major media outlet wanted to include those on their website because there's just nothing else like that, right? So I would say we're really sort of, you know, doing a really good job in that community affairs space through our, you know, local programming. But what we're also trying to build out is there's a lot of amazing content creators in Colorado, right? And so we're partnering with them to say, what do you have? And how can we get that on our platform to give you exposure for what you're trying to do? Mm-hmm. But the PBS content, what we're really trying to do and where we've been successful is, say we get, you know, an amazing program from PBS through, like the last one that we got was through the US and the Holocaust from Ken Burns. What we did with that is we were able to raise money to do a documentary that talked about what was going on locally in Colorado during the time of the Holocaust. Mm-hmm. And we showed that documentary and put a panel together of local individuals that could kind of talk about that time. So basically what we're doing is we're taking a national piece of content and localizing it to Colorado and bringing us together for conversations and panel discussions around that. I'll never forget the panel conversation that we had after the US and the Holocaust. We were able to have this amazing Holocaust survivor on the panel. Mm. And the facilitator said, oh my gosh, you know, you lived through the Holocaust. That must have been so frightening and terrifying. And she goes, yeah, it was, but I have to tell you something, what's going on in our society today and the anti-Semitism that we're seeing is more frightening to me because it reminds me exactly of what was going on in Poland before the Holocaust, wow. Right? Like, just can't be in a space to hear those stories anymore. And so we're really, you know, because we have this free platform of so many hours a week to build out, we can put that kind of content out there. No other media outlet has that opportunity like we do.
You go beyond the sound bites.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and bring people together in person to be able to have these discussions. You know, Netflix tried to do that. I don't know if you remember that, but during COVID or post-COVID, they started to try and do like local screenings of television series or local. Well, Netflix doesn't have the deep roots in the community, right? So it failed. It didn't work. We do have the deep roots in the community. One of the reasons that I was brought on and that our whole team was brought on is that we're all extremely connected in the community. Mm. So if we had a piece of content, I know all the organizations that we could partner with to bring people together to have a discussion. We just did that with Bank of America. We partnered with History Colorado and Bank of America to support one of our pieces of content that's coming out nationally called Blaxplanation. And then we brought a panel conversation together to talk about race relations in Colorado right now. And it was powerful, right? Mm-hmm. It's different than just sitting in front of a television and consuming media. It's saying, okay, going back to impact media, what is the result of you seeing this? What can you do? How can you be a better person? Who can you connect with to deeply understand it in person?
Wow. 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 That touches my heart. That's fabulous. That's wonderful. So what about, I understand there's also a lot of community engagement events that PBS has also.
Yes. So that's exactly what I was talking about, right? It's the idea of taking an amazing piece of content and bringing it alive to create impact and create change. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the event that I talked about with Bank of America, the event that I talked about with US and the Holocaust, basically, you know, what we're really doing is trying to create community engagement events around content so that it's not enough to just consume a story, consume a piece of content. There's the ability to interact as a result. Another way that we did that for the last election is, you know, there were all the debates, right, between, you know, Mike Johnson and Kelly Bruff about, like, you know, how they feel about policy. We knew that Denver's biggest concern was homelessness.
Mm-hmm.
We actually got funding to do a documentary on homelessness. Mm-hmm. And it just was kind of a magical how it worked. But the documentary was finished right in the final stages of the runoff election. So we convened an event at the Denver Botanic Gardens and we showed the documentary on homelessness. And then we had Kelly and Mike sit down and deeply dive into what they were going to do to solve it. But it wasn't just a news anchor asking them the questions. It was a whole panel of either there was a homeless individual or a previously unhoused individual on the panel. There was the head of Urban Peak. There was the head of the Urban Land Institute, right? So they couldn't just sort of gloss over what they were going to do. They had no choice but to deeply dive into their plans. And that was a community event. And I had so many people come up to me and say, that has helped guide my vote. Thank you.
Wow. Somebody needs to do that. Because otherwise, yeah. Once again, all you hear from the politicians are the sound bites, because that's all they have time for.
Yeah. Yeah. So it, you know, we're going to continue to do more things like that.
That is fabulous. That is wonderful. I know there's something kind of unique about how you are licensed with the FCC.
Yeah. So the FCC, many, many years ago, I think it was in the 60s, they were the ones that gave out the licenses for educational television. So PBS is only one form of public media. There are other organizations that are public media organizations that aren't PBS, but have been given licenses by the FCC to really provide educational television. And if you think about it, right, even just the terminology educational television, people are like, I don't want to turn on the TV right now and think. but we're licensed through the FCC to do so, but that doesn't mean that it has to be educational and boring, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we want educational television to make you think, to be fun, to also be able to be entertained and also tune out, right? Sometimes people turn on the television to be able to do that. What we're trying to create is we're trying to trick you into being entertained and learning something and engaging at the same time. I don't know how many federal licenses have been given out by the FCC for the purpose of public media, but we have to be very careful, obviously, how we tell stories, right? So if we're doing a documentary on a particular topic, we have to make sure that our funding comes from multiple sources and that people don't necessarily have an agenda for giving us the money to be able to fund that, right? So we just recently did a project with Comcast. The federal government really is pushing deeply, and the FCC right now, getting more people connected to the internet, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's a huge goal, right? And we know why, right? Access to knowledge and information is the great equalizer. Right. Access to education is the great equalizer. If you don't have the internet, you're not going to be able to be as educated on the same level as everyone else. It's a huge problem right now. So we partnered with Comcast and some other funders to be able to put together a spot that said, hey, everyone, our viewers, if you're not connected to the internet, the federal government's willing to give you a stipend to be able to make that happen. But that was just implied, because we didn't say that. We just told stories of the differences in someone's life when they were connected versus when they're not, right? Mm-hmm. And it was all about stories of connectivity. So we have to be mindful and careful how we tell stories, and to make sure that there's never really an agenda, like, not a bad agenda. You know what I mean? Like, right. I don't think anybody would disagree with the fact that, you know, being able to be connected to the internet, if it's possible, is a good thing. Mm-hmm. And so there's no agenda there. That's just a good thing. The federal government wants it, and we were able to tell that story.
Well, one of the other things about that, you know, you talk about being connected to the internet. A lot of people don't trust the internet. And yet when they go through you or hear what you're doing and know that you're trustworthy and have to be,
yeah,
there's a whole different feeling for the audience that way than it's just not, well, I don't know if I want to believe this or not, because I hear stories about and I hear stories about, but when it comes from you, you know that the research has been done. It's clear.
Well, and what an important and meaningful thing. But unfortunately, you know, for as much as people say, well, I don't trust the internet, it's still a main source of information for so many people. That train has left the station, right? And so when I did a listening tour when I started at PBS 12, and I heard over and over again people telling me, oh, I don't watch news anymore. Oh, no, I don't even read the New York Times. I don't listen to NPR. I don't. And I'm like, well, where are you getting your information? Well, the internet, social media. And we all know the danger in that, right? Because then the algorithms just feed you the same thing, and you will only see one side of a story.
Right.
Which you could say all day long, well, forget it. I'm just not going to watch news, and I'm not going to use the internet, and I'm not going to, well, let's just sort of say like that train's left the station and give somebody a different way of consuming information.
Beautiful.
Instead of saying, I'm just not going to look at it at all. Right. Mm-hmm. Because people are going to do that. I am so grateful that we're a trusted source, but some would say that we're not, right? Like, I don't know if you saw the latest thing where Elon Musk said that PBS is, you know, government-funded media. And so our agenda is government. We don't get any government funding, right? But someone's perception is, like, on the other side, like on the conservative side, they believe that public media is government. Right. Yeah. So it's better, I think, to just take it from the perspective of now we're just delivering stories. Mm-hmm. Right. And you can, there's room for every opinion here. Right. Like all opinions matter versus like, oh, well, I'm not going to consume that anymore. Right.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. There's another term that I heard used around, it's called content pillars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about what that means.
So for us, when I first started, we were trying to figure out, okay, we get this incredible content from PBS, and we're so fortunate to have it. And it also gives us viewers and members and this wonderful ability to raise funds because of what we do. But again, as I said, we have this whole open platform that we want to build out with local content. Mm-hmm. And so we had to develop a strategy for how we were going to do that. And the strategy that we used is, okay, we've got this PBS content. How can we take that and optimize it when we have viewers to build out our local platform? When we know that we have eyeballs on our PBS content, how can we put some things in there that are local to make it all sort of work as a holistic ecosystem?
Beautiful.
We started out with 6 pillars and we still have them. But what we've noticed is that where we're getting a lot of viewership, where we're having a lot of success, and where we're beginning to get people wanting to fund us and support us is around 3 specific content pillars: arts and culture, right? And that's things like people want to know what's going on with restaurants in Colorado or what's going on at the museums and what can I see? Or, and a lot of our viewers don't get out to do that anymore, right? So arts and culture content is really important to them. Colorado is a big outdoor, you know, enthusiast. So we're developing a show called Day Tripper, where we're going to have someone go out and show you all the really cool places that you didn't know about in outdoor Colorado, right? So that's arts and culture is a huge one for us. Another one that I kind of briefly mentioned was community issues, community affairs, right? Like all of these local issues, local politics, what's going on in that arena. We're developing a lot of content in that space. The other one is diverse voices. And diverse voices for us, we actually chose it based on our PBS content because PBS is doubling down on content by and for people of color. Mm-hmm. But also, as they have existed for years, they have all this youth content, right? Like Sesame Street and the whole PBS Kids. Mm-hmm. So diverse voices is really important. And we're developing a lot of local content in that space as well. We just shot our first pilot episode of a show with Gloria Neal called Said Unsaid. And Gloria and I concepted this show over coffee. And the premise of it is let's watch other people having difficult conversations so that we can learn from them like a fly on the wall so that I don't have to have the difficult conversation, but I can witness somebody else having it.
Wow.
And learn from it, right? Because nobody wants to say the wrong thing. I believe that most people are really good human beings and they have unconscious biases that they're not aware of. And so our first episode was, between Gloria Neal and Regina Jackson. And Regina's the one that hosts the dinners for white women and women of color, right? To kind of talk about race issues. So the conversation was between Regina and Gloria about being Black women and what it feels like around white women. And just, you know, as a white woman, I'm sitting there like, oh my gosh, witness to this really uncomfortable conversation, but God, did I learn a lot. Right? Mm-hmm. The missteps that I've had or how I could lean in more should I choose to. And so we're going to continue that path. And the next one that we want to do is going to be on gender, right? And like what that looks like. So really leaning into that type of content with local people that you can't find anywhere else.
I love it. That is beautiful. That is beautiful. You just bring that right home for us.
Yeah.
I love it. That's great. And I love even your international news, you know, when, mm-hmm. when it's not just sound bites again, you get into somebody like the Amapour show in Amapour and Company. And it's like, you just hear two sides, three sides, four sides to a story, and you can make decisions on your own.
Yeah, from perspectives that we don't have access to here in the U.S. Mm-hmm. So, you know, as you mentioned, so we have our main channel, which is PBS and a lot of our local content. And it's got, you know, the News Hour and Amanpour and Company. And, you know, I like to say all of our British dramas, which people love. And then we have our sub-channels. And on our sub-channels, we have the DW, which is basically Deutsche Welle. It's European news out of Germany in English. And then we have for 12 hours a day on one of our channels, FNX, which is Native American content.
Mm-hmm.
And then on our last channel, we have NHK, which is basically Japanese public television in English. And so there's these perspectives and access to content and information that you can't get anywhere else. And a lot of people say, like, I only watch DW News because the perspectives are so broad and from a voice that I don't generally hear, not on CNN, not anywhere.
It's the type of thing we're typically missing here because of the fact that if you go to any other foreign country, just about any other foreign country, a big chunk of their news is all about what's going on in the United States.
Yeah.
In other countries. I was in Amsterdam one time and the fella knew all of our senators. And I'm going, I don't know. I don't even know. That's it. Yeah. And I was embarrassed that I didn't know anything about his country, you know. Yeah. And so that's a beautiful gift. But the other thing I wanted to bring up that please, please, please don't ever give up on your doo-wop shows.
Oh, yeah.
That takes me right back to my comfort
zone. Oh, good.
I love the doo-wop shows.
Yeah.
Those are some of my favorites.
Yeah, and it makes you feel good. That's the whole point of what we're doing. We're not trying to stress people out. If we give information that might point out an issue, we always want you to walk away from viewing PBS 12 or being at one of our events. We want you to feel good, right? Like, there is hope in the world in Colorado, right? Like, we're going to solve this. We got it.
Well, the thing is, the thing that blows me away since I started doing these podcasts is to see how many organizations and how many individuals are out there doing wondrous work for people in need. But the thing that blows me away is the number of people in need.
Yeah. And
so what you're doing right now to educate people, to help people make decisions that are good for themselves and for the community is just, we are also grateful for what you do.
Thank you. And
I would like to find out, I would assume that I know you take donations on your programs because I do watch the doo-wops and those sort of things.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But how can people help out either with volunteering or with their financial help? What's the best way for people to make sure that you stay here and you help us be entertained and to be educated and all that?
We're a membership organization, right? So at the end of the day, that's where most of our revenue comes. Not unlike any other membership organization, like people join the zoo, they join museums as members, right. Join a women's chamber as a member. And you join because you believe in what we do and because you get something out of it. So as a way to like stay active and engaged, becoming a member of PBS 12 is always valuable to us. And then you actually, when you become a member, you get access to Passport, which is really our streaming service. So if you don't want to watch traditional over the air, you then automatically become a Passport member and have access to all of these programs that you can stream at any time. But I would say, you know, it isn't always all about money. And I think, you know, what I think is so meaningful and a way to get involved in PBS 12 is to show up at our events. And really be a part of the conversation, a part of the solution. We all need to be civically engaged right now. Like, it, I will never forget my dear friend and mentor, Heidi Williams. She was the mayor of Thornton. I had never paid a lot of attention to local politics before, right? And I think that most people would probably say the same thing. Like, you mm-hmm. pay attention to the presidential elections and maybe governor, but it rarely gets down to the mayoral level. Or do you really realize like what's going on in your local community? And she told me that's where change happens, right? Like, nobody realizes it, but without a doubt, that's where all movements start. That's where things happen. So we are providing a platform for Coloradans to come together and get civically engaged. So I would say, and our events are free, like, show up. We don't charge for them. We want you there. We want to hear you as part of the conversation. So I would say that those are the two ways that I think guarantee that we keep going, because as long as there's a need for people to get involved civically, we will exist.
Gee, Kristen, is there some place they can go to find out where these
there
events
is,
are?
There is.
Do you by any chance have a website?
We do. Visit us at pbs12.org. Become a member, watch our content. You can donate. You can find out about our events. It's all sitting right there.
That's fabulous. And I just want all of our listeners to realize the amount of work that goes on behind the scenes with you, your staff, the people that are putting these programs together. It doesn't just happen. There's a lot of work that goes in there. And I know there's a huge amount of research that goes in so that you can be truthful with your audience. So we truly appreciate that. And I just want everybody out there to just start watching PBS 12 and be able to go out there. And if there's volunteer opportunities, or if there's, like you say, events, that we can find out what's going on at the core of our communities. That's beautiful. You are making such a fabulous service out there for us. We appreciate that.
Thank you, Tom. Thanks for calling attention to the good work that people are doing in the community. We're both doing the same thing, right? We just want to spread good information and talk about incredible human beings in our community. So thank you for being a partner in that.
I want everybody out there to know that if you're sitting there going, what can one person do? There are answers to that. All you have to do is look around, and there's a lot you can do to help. Kristen, thank you so, so much for taking the time. I know your schedule is incredibly busy to come on and be a guest on this show, because you have just made my day. And I know the people listening here can say, wow, we have a resource that I didn't know all the depth of. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Tom. Thanks for all you do.
All right. Thank you so much. And I need to sign off now. So for those of you who listen on a weekly basis, tune in next week for yet another episode of The Harmony Goal, where we love to shine the light on the people who are doing wondrous work out there for other people. And if you would like to subscribe, there's an opportunity on our website called theharmonygoal.com. And if you'd like to donate to keep us on the air also, but definitely to PBS 12, number one. But if you'd like to donate to us to keep us on the air, that'd be wonderful too. And we look forward to chatting with you again next week. Stay tuned in. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you so much for listening to the Harmony Goal podcast. To learn more ways in which people are creating harmony in the world, simply subscribe to this podcast. See our mission at theharmonygoal.com. And remember, we are all empowered to create more harmony in the world, one smile at a time.